My African adventure began at Johannesburg Park Station, a place where angels fear to tread, and even the devil would think twice. I had emigrated to South Africa the previous day and set up home in Newtown, apparently the Hoxton of Johannesburg with its trendy bars and art galleries in converted industrial buildings. The railway station is nearby, and I needed to get to Pretoria for a press conference with President Motlanthe. So why not? That this would be no typical commute became clear as I stood waiting on the platform. I heard a shrill whistling and looked around to see three men frantically waving and pointing. Contrary to the display screens, the next train to Pretoria was leaving from the opposite platform. So I dashed across and jumped aboard the yellow metro carriage. Inside, about a dozen South Africans in casual or scruffy clothes looked around and stared at the train's sole white passenger, and the only one wearing a suit. At times like this, my English accent seems to become even more ostentatiously starched. "Excuse me, please," I asked. "Is this the train to Pretoria?" They nodded. I had bought a first-class ticket, but my new acquaintances advised that I should stay where I was for now, as the train could pull out of the station at any moment. "Wait for the first stop," they advised, "then I could walk up the platform and find the first-class carriage." The first stop came soon enough. Lured, perhaps, by romantic illusions of rail travel in Africa, I stepped off and jogged up the platform in search of first class. But 5 seconds later, all the train doors began sliding shut. As a veteran of the London Underground, I did that thing the drivers hate, hurling myself at the closing doors to force myself back in. Unlike the tube, however, the Joburg Metro takes no prisoners. As the train took off, I had one foot planted in the carriage, but the other was still on the platform, which was moving away at gathering speed. I tried to keep pace and gain the necessary traction to jump up. Then, suddenly, a hand reached from within the carriage and yanked me inside. The reputedly menacing, mug-you-as-soon-as-look-at-you passengers of Johannesburg's metro had intervened to save me. I caught my breath and took a seat, giving up on any whimsy about first class. A middle-aged woman came over holding a political pamphlet. We talked about the forthcoming election for a while. She urged me to keep a tight grip on my bag, her face full of concern. After nearly 2 hours, we arrived at Pretoria and I headed to the press conference at the presidential guesthouse. I began talking to a Danish journalist about the best ways to travel in South Africa. "Flying is very cheap," he said. "What about the train?" I asked. He looked at me. "Nobody uses the train." I didn't say anything. Just then it was announced the press conference would start a little late because a fatal accident had caused a huge traffic jam on the motorway from Johannesburg. I went back the way I had come. Another sprint to get on the train, another wait amid confusion over which was leaving first. It was then I met Samuel Zwaney, a big man passing from carriage to carriage, selling sweets and singing melodiously about his mother and father. I asked him why he was sporting a giant Jacob Zuma t-shirt, and he shouted his responses, effectively broadcasting our interview to the entire train. He said, "What I can tell you, sir, is that the African National Congress is the party which was founded by our forefathers. My grandfather joined this party in 1919. 100% Zuma is the right guy for South Africa. He's not arrogant, he's down to earth. We feel all our problems will be solved by the ANC." After he moved on, a quietly spoken teacher leaned forward to speak to me. His name was Dumi Mbambo, and he moved here from Zimbabwe 4 years ago. He told me he had written a political satire after being affected by a story about refugees from Robert Mugabe's regime. When he told me the story, I too found it hard to put out of my mind. To get from Zimbabwe to South Africa, A mother and her baby had to cross the Limpopo River. The woman became so frightened that she fell from the bridge to her death. Her baby was left behind. The Zimbabwean guards debated what to do with the baby. "It's nothing to do with us," said one, throwing the baby into the crocodile-infested river. As he told this story, a colourfully dressed woman walked by, singing in a plangent voice, accompanied by a man on a portable electronic keyboard. I emerged back at Johannesburg Park Station, remembering more about my encounter with these passengers than the president. I hope I remember that first South African hand reached out to me, not to deliver a blow, but to help me aboard.